Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Back here at Cofield and Company, Reno is in as we're live at Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Our college football expert checks in, Michael Felder from In the Bleachers up on Twitter and Learfield, and we'll tell you more about his podcast as this spot moves along. Mike, let's look back, and then we can look ahead as we often do. So let's go back to the game here in Vegas, which was outstanding for Vegas. What a big event. Good game between LSU and USC. I want your impression, but if you go up to your Substack, I like that you wrote about USC and LSU, quote, two very athletic teams that aren't that good.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about it. Like, I watched two teams. What was the final score of that game? The final score of that game was 27-20. And I'm not saying you got to score a lot of points to be good. These are two offensive-minded head coaches, and it wasn't like the defense has played very well. It was a lot of mistakes, whether you talk about penalties, you talk about missed opportunities. And so we saw a lot of mistakes. Miller Moss, I think he's going to be good. I think Nussmeier is going to be good. But they've got a lot of things that they've got to clean up. They were two sloppy teams. You can see the athletic. You can feel the athleticism on the field there.
Right.
But it wasn't harnessed in the way that you want it to be in terms of consistency. So if I'm looking at USC and LSU, I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking for a little more toughness. And I'm looking for cleaning up little things, clock things. I'm looking at, and by the way, we can talk clock when we get to Colorado, but clock things and how you handle those situations are going to be really interesting.
LSU and Brian Kelly after the game, punching the table. A lot of people are like, what is he doing? It looks like he's fake.
Performative.
I don't know. I can't figure out the guy. I do think he's a good coach. Yeah. So you thought that was performative? You thought that was nonsense?
I just think that for him, I think he's feeling a lot of pressure. Pressure that didn't happen with Notre Dame. Pressure that doesn't come, you know, it don't come from the Bayou. And so it's one of those, or it does come from the Bayou. And so it's one of those things where he's like, man, we can't. They lost their season opener a year ago. They lost this season opener. And so now you're fighting an uphill battle. Now the battle's a little bit easier.
Yes.
In theory, because there's 12 teams, but they've also allowed Oklahoma and Texas into that league, which means your area of opportunity. Your margin for error is a little bit lesser. But the reality of it is they, with this one, the way this team goes, they could go either way. And that's one of those things that I always say, and you've heard me say it before, whether it's for a season or it's for a program, it's easier to drive that college football car off a cliff than it is to take it around those winding roads to make sure you get to your destination.
Michael Felder's with us here on Cofield and Company from Bleacher Report. The other side of the game, listen, USC showed that Miller Moss is a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
They're stout. You know, they're not going to have a disastrous season. But yesterday on the show, I was ready to put up a bet with my co-host, and I said, 8-4. You know, they'll be good. I think they'll go in and mess up the Big Ten a little bit, but they're going to lose some games. Good team. I'm not sure that they're a great team yet.
I totally agree with you. Like, again, that's the reason I said what I said. They are very athletic. They have good players. I mean, at the wide receiver position, they've got a couple of dogs out there. They're getting better on defense, although LSU being sloppy doesn't show us that, or doesn't show us as much. So this is going to be really interesting to see what this looks like. I really am obviously playing Utah State. They should win this football game. The line's big. So we'll see what this looks like, but I think they'll be better going into the second week, and Miller Moss having a full game under his belt after, you know, sitting behind Caleb. I think he's got an idea of what the speed looks like in a game.
More reaction off of week one. Florida is already making changes, kind of forced that quarterback, DJ Lagway. And I'll just ask a simple question again. Is Florida a bowl team?
Wow. I don't think they are. I don't even know. I'll tell you this. I don't think Florida's going to have the same coach when they end the season. And that's not me hoping. That's not me rooting for. That's not any of that. That's me saying I think that this team – is so far gone. Because let's look, and they'll beat Samford. I'm not worried about that. But A&M, they get them at home. At home apparently doesn't mean that much because Cam Ward went off on them. So they get A&M, although A&M, I don't know how good they are anyways. So they play at Mississippi State. Like, they, you know what? With this schedule, the problem is going to be Ole Miss, LSU, Texas, Georgia, Tennessee. That's five, right? That's five games. So they got to be A&M or Mississippi State to make sure that they get in Kentucky, by the way, to get to where they want to be. Because I don't think there's no – I don't think there's any way they're going to be Ole Miss, LSU, Texas, Georgia, and Tennessee. So that's five losses that we're looking at. If they drop any of those other games when they're already going to be behind the eight ball, we're looking at a team that, in theory, in my mind, is probably going to have six losses off the rip, just off the schedule right now. You lose to A&M, that's seven losses. Them and Florida State might be locked in at 5-6. Going into that last week of the season, just looking at each other like, one of us got to do it. So it's going to be really interesting.
Michael Felder's with us. Make sure you go and sign up for It's Felder Substack. It really is good audio, video. They're sewing on there. We always talk about your cooking. You mentioned Florida State in terms of being a bowl team or not. Yeah. They have a big game coming up in a couple of weeks. It's a massive game on the other side. Memphis has to have an awesome record. They got to beat a team like Florida State, no matter what kind of season Florida State is having. But I like the statement you made, we have to talk about quarterbacks in a better way.
Yes. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you want to blame DJ Uiagalelei, and let me pull up his stat line, because obviously that's what everybody's pointing to. And then I'm watching Instagram reels and YouTube videos of people pointing out things that he did wrong. And no one's pointing out like any of the other stuff. No one's pointing out that, yes, he has not been great. This is a guy that's thrown for 58% passing, but guess what? Statistically, over the course of his career, that's about where he is. So he hasn't been anything other than himself. One-to-one touchdown interception ratio. And what we're talking about is a guy who he's slower footed than we thought. He's a 252-pound quarterback who we thought coming in was going to be a little bit more like Cam Newton. And he's not. He's a lot more like Ben Roethlisberger. In terms of how he moves. Like, he has to move in the pocket. He has to move to create space. But he's not going to beat Jameis Winston, even to tie it into Florida State. Jameis Winston's not a runner. But he moves in the pocket, and he can do those things. He's a bigger guy. So he's great. They have to figure out how to use him. And I thought Oregon State did a great job. Jonathan Smith did a great job of using him. Didn't ask him to be Jordan Travis. Didn't ask him to be a guy that's going to run for a million yards. This is a guy that you use in the run game, you use him in short yardage.
It's felder.substack.com. All right, let's spend like 45 seconds on each game, go rapid fire on a set of games here. Texas, I think this is a big number at Michigan, but I'm not really sure who Michigan is yet.
Okay, so what's the number?
7.5. Texas on the road.
I think they cover the number. I really like this team. I think Quinn Ewers is one of the better quarterbacks in the country. Same up him with Cam Ward. Probably got to be your two Heisman sort of front runners. Although Ashton Janti belongs in that discussion for what he did for Boise State. And so, yeah, I think Texas is going to go up there, and they're going to put pressure on Michigan to have to score, and that's something that Fresno State just couldn't do.
Well, let's jump to Boise. I mean, this is a massive game for both teams. Boise, yes. I mean, a win for Boise in the college football playoff group of five, you know, one bid thing would be massive. They're getting almost three touchdowns here, but – this is a showcase game. Ashton Janti is legit. Obviously, I've covered him a lot in the Mountain West Conference. He is a beast. He's an NFL running back. But it is Oregon, so what do you think happens here?
I think Oregon – the problem for me is this – Oregon's probably going to have to get right. They didn't look really good last week. They looked fine. They got the job done. But I think this is one where Lanning's going to come out with that – what he gets from Kirby Smart mentality, and these guys are going to know they got to put the pedal to the metal. We'll see what they get out of, obviously, Dylan Gabriel. So this should be a fun one. But if Ashton Janti goes off again – they're gonna have some problems. Like, the reality is, that's what this Boise State team is. It's him, and the offensive line knows that. The wide receivers know that. And watching the effort that those guys gave in blocking, and to circle it back to the Florida State situation where guys aren't blocking, to circle it back to that, to bring it forward to Boise State, they know, hey, we got a guy behind us that needs us to get the job done. So we'll see what this looks like.
For me, this week is playing against all the overreaction in terms of picks and betting. I don't think you can tell much from 1 week, and teams get off to slow starts. But I don't think this is overreacting. What I saw from Colorado, I think they're about the same. My worry was they moved too many guys out. They didn't bring enough guys in for depth and the power positions. I don't know if they can run the ball, and I don't think Shador can throw for 450. And if he does, the problem is on the defensive side, they can give up 40 and 50 points. So Nebraska is actually laying a touchdown here. I don't love Nebraska, but I wonder what happens.
Don't love Nebraska either. Young quarterback, we'll figure it out. Here's the thing. Why do people don't think about this? Why do you think Wisconsin, Iowa, Obviously, Michigan even, they have a really good offensive line because those guys stay there and they play together. Georgia, same thing. Guys stay there. They play together. They develop together. You can't go out and get a brand new offensive line. Like, listen, spend as much money as you want. I don't care. At the end of the day, those guys have to grow up together. You know, it's like, I don't know, you have a brother or sister?
Yep, two brothers.
Two brothers? You guys can read each other's minds, right? Like, basically, like, when you guys all get to, when you get together, you can read each other's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what an offensive line has to be. I port that over to the secondary as well, where I need, if I'm a safety, I need to know that this corner is going to undercut that so I can get over the top and I can go make a play, or he's going to make a play. It's same thing with the offensive line. I need to know that if this guy's covered up, he's going to have a hard time with him. So I need to come down and wham this guy. And then I know that I can count on the guy outside of me, my tackle, to make sure that he blocks down and the running back's going to come up here. And they don't have that. And they might not get that until the middle of the season because you don't get that from practice. You get that from game reps. So this is going to be an interesting situation. I mean, Nebraska, at least they are growing. And here's the other part, and we didn't talk much about this, but is Deion a good coach?
I actually don't think so. I don't think he can manage the clock. Frankly, from what I've heard, he's not around the program enough to actually hone his skills as a coach. It's a weird deal.
Yeah, that's the part for me is like watching them throw the football. I was like, why are you throwing the football?
Yep.
Run the ball, eat the clock, and don't let them get the ball back. So it's going to be interesting to see what this looks like. And listen, football is not a popularity contest. Football is a game where you have to show up and you better go out there and be ready to fight the other guy. And I think Deion's a good positional coach. I think he's good for defensive backs. I think he's great for Travis Hunter. I don't know what that – I think he's been obviously good for Shadur. I don't know what it looks like for the rest of the guys on that roster.
Last one, NC State against Tennessee. A big game for both teams. Can NC State kind of nut up, get better? Last week against Western Carolina was shaky.
The Catamounts ain't never been good, not one time in my entire life, ever. My uncle went to Western Carolina. They have never been good. I played football with a guy that ended up playing quarterback at Western. They have never been good. And to struggle like that, that's going to be rough. Tennessee's coming in feeling really, really high, feeling really, really good after the way they performed. I think this is there's twofold. One, defensively, can you keep up with this offense? Can you keep pace with this offense? I don't know the answer to that. I think the answer is no. So that's already you're taking yourself a step back. Offensively, do they have anything else besides Grayson McCall and Concepcion? Because the run game looked bad. The offensive line looked bad. How do you score? If you have to score 35 points in your NC State, how do you get there? Because Concepcion ain't going to score 5 touchdowns in this football game.
Right. All right, Mike, we appreciate it. Enjoy week 2. The madness is here. Love it.
All right, take it easy.
There he is, Michael Felder from Bleacher Report, Learfield, and, of course, itsfelder.substack.com. Giveaway time, 364-1100, 364-1100, October 15th, T-Mobile Arena, AXS.com. You can get your tickets for Lakers and Golden State in the exhibition season. Lakers, Golden State are on the ground here in Las Vegas. Griffin's got your tickets right now, 2 of them, October 15th, AXS.com. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7, 364-1100.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno. It's Cofield and Company.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Rolling towards the halfway point of the show. A lot to get to. Opener tonight. If you are looking, NFL opener, if you are looking for the game tonight, we will have it here after Cofield and Company, but we go until 6 now on Thursdays and Mondays. We used to go 2 to 5, cut out for the game. The game is also run on Raider Nation Radio 920. So Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football will be over on 920 a.m. Lots of talk from 3 to 6, or lots of time from 3 to 6 for Cofield and Company to break things down, especially on Thursdays. This is our big college football day, and we'll have our angles on Chiefs and Ravens in a little bit. JVT is here. Shannon Kelly is with us. There's a pretty interesting story unfolding in Reno with the Wolfpack. Jeff Choate has made a difference. Shannon is in. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy Thursday.
I will ask you, happy Thursday to you. I will ask you, what is it like being around a program that has some hope and has a win and there's some good energy as opposed to what you guys were covering the last couple of years?
It's been really exciting so far. And, I don't know if a breath of fresh air is the right term, but it's been really exciting. And to see, I think in that aspect, that fans are excited about football, that there were fans that stayed through all four quarters at Mackey Stadium, and that was just something that we didn't see last year, unfortunately, given the circumstances. So it's been really exciting to see the buzz around this football program right now.
How did the game play out last week against Troy? They got a win. It wasn't easy. How did they win?
It wasn't easy. Nevada was down 14-0 and then just slowly chipped away there, got a touchdown right before halftime, and then got a nice touchdown to start off the second half, a big run from Savion Red that helped spark the Wolfpack early on in the second half. And meanwhile, Troy did come back. They scored a late touchdown with less than a minute left in the game, but Nevada's defense was able to lock down and strip Troy of that two-point conversion. So that would have, ultimately had forced overtime, but in the end, Nevada was able to hang on and to get the first win of the Jeff Choate era. And it was a loud house in there. I mean, granted, this wasn't an SEC school, but there was still, over 25,000 people in the stands. It was loud. It wasn't, a quiet stadium by any means down there in Alabama.
So I want to ask just generally, where the hell did this come from? Because this did not seem like an expectation at all. But I want to start with Brendan Lewis. The kid looks like fantastic in compared to what happened last year, right? He wasn't particularly great, threw a lot of interceptable passes. He has yet to throw in through two games. What happened with Lewis, and where did this development come from? What do you credit it to?
I think a lot of it has to come just from his confidence and the coaching staff believing in him. I thought it was really interesting this week at Jeff Choate's press conference. He said, hey, this might be kind of embarrassing, but I didn't watch any film on him last year. I didn't watch a game of this team last year. I didn't want to judge them based off of that. And I think, just Brendan Lewis knowing he has the confidence to go out there, that he has playmakers around him, that he doesn't have to do everything himself. He's been, very efficient so far through just two games. And I think a lot of it has to do also with offensive coordinator Matt Lubick and just the plays that he's been able to draw up so far. Nevada's been so efficient in the red zone this season that wasn't the case last year. So I think it's a mix of a lot of different things, but Coach Choate has really spoke to Brendan Lewis's confidence and that he's in the film room more, and he's just continuing to grow as that leader the Wolfpack needs.
Shannon Kelly with a sports anchor and reporter, Nevada Sportsnet, talking about Reno football. I still can't let it go. I refuse to do it. So I'm really curious, because out here in talking to people, like, where I work for the most part, it's Gambling Network. A lot of people tried to make the case that, they wanted Chuba Purdy to win this thing, this quarterback battle, but they were just forced to play Lewis. Did you get that sense, or was this something that they wanted the whole time, that Lewis was going to be the guy throughout camp and that he rightfully won that job?
No, I don't think that was necessarily the case. I think with Purdy, he's been hurt. We haven't really seen a sense of what Chuba Purdy is capable of. He was hurt during spring. He's been limited. He's going to start throwing again here soon. We'll see how quickly he becomes available. But I think there was still a competition battle. We saw Brendan Lewis in the spring. He got a lot of reps during the spring. AJ Bianco is still in a backup. Brendan Lewis this week. AJ Bianco entered into the game on Saturday for a couple plays when Lewis kind of got dinged up. And a couple quick plays, and he didn't seem to have missed a beat at all. So I think it's interesting. I think maybe that was the perception maybe from people, as you kind of said. But it'll be interesting as the season definitely goes on, and how that position continues to play out as the weeks go on, just like the rest of the team, really.
Shannon Kelly's with us. Tell us more about the story with Lubick.
Yeah, so Coach Lubick battling leukemia. So he came to the Wolfpack back over the summer. I want to say late summer was when he actually got here, feet on the ground. So he's been doing a lot over Zoom. So this week it's the leukemia awareness game at Mackey Stadium. But pretty crazy story, because Coach Lubick and Jeff Choate, they both played together at Western Montana. So that's how their relationship dates back. And, they're able to coach together now, and just a crazy story when you talk to the guys and We have, you know, Mike Stephenson did a great feature on Coach Lubick and just how he's such a living example for this program.
Let's talk about this matchup against Georgia Southern. So they're making the long trip out to the state of Nevada. And a week ago they got bombed by Boise State. But, yeah. I mean, bombed at 56-45. They got bombed by Ashton Jeanty, and that's the thing. So their run defense obviously is a little bit leaky. Jeanty's awesome, so I'm not going to say their run defense is terrible. But as John said, they hung 45, and they threw for 323 yards. So this is a pretty interesting matchup against a Sun Belt team. And, you know, I'm sure the Pack is feeling good right now. They're going to have to play some defense.
Absolutely. They're going to have to, and they're going to have to generate, you know, a better pass rush too. You look at Georgia Southern, a very pass-heavy offense once their quarterback gets going. J.C. French, he was a backup last year, but, you know, he had six touchdowns. So Georgia Southern was 7-for-7 in the red zone last week against Boise State. So once their offense was, you know, going. So it's going to be a challenge, no doubt, for Nevada's, you know, secondary as well. And, you know, just to be able to slow them down and get them out of their rhythm. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game. You look at, you know, it's another Sun Belt Conference team that's very strong and has a handful of preseason players that earned accolades. So, you know, how can Nevada slow down its playmakers? That's going to be one of the biggest questions, no doubt.
So this is a meeting that has happened in the past. Listen, I'm not like you guys. I'm not around Jeff Choate all the time. He seems to have there's a presence about him from a, you know, a football coach standpoint, but also he's got a pretty good sense of humor. He was talking about his mullet back in the day.
He was, yeah, back in 1986, the last time Nevada hosted Georgia Southern. So there have only been two meetings before this Saturday in school history, both for FCS playoffs. So 1986 was at Mackey Stadium. And he said, hey, I had a mullet back then. Like, let's go. Let's party like it's 1986 at Mackey this upcoming Saturday. So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe Coach Choate will grow his hair out for the game. But it should be fun. But it's always funny. You never know what Coach Choate is going to say. So
Shannon Kelly,
very lucky to have him.
Nevada Sports Nets with us. Shannon Kelly is up. John, what's going on with the reaction? Originally, Nevada – I'm correct on this, right? Was Nevada getting points in this one?
They were opened up as a 3-point underdog.
Yeah, so this flipped all the way to one the other way?
Dude, I mean, the tale of where they've been, against SMU, they opened as 20-point underdogs. That got bet up to 27. They fight in that one. The game against Troy, they opened as 16.5-point underdogs, but they get the support. That gets bet down to 8.5. So, of course, they went outright, they cover, and now we get this.
All right, Shannon, what do you think? You want to lay the number here? You want to lay the one? You think the Pack are going to win?
I think so, just given the momentum that they've been riding. Now, I do think it's going to be a close game. I think Georgia Southern's going to come out with a fight, especially given last week's result. But Nevada does have, you know, its home crowd on its side this week. They're riding some momentum after last week's game. And, you know, right after the game on Saturday, talking to some of the guys, they're like, hey, this is a win that certainly can help us, but we have a tough team that's coming in Georgia Southern next week. So it's like there's no room for, you know, overlooking or any of that, because this team still has a very long way to go, but progress is certainly being made very early on in the season here.
So Rebel fans are feeling pretty good about their start. Nearly shut out a Big 12 team on the road in Houston. Pack feel like they're back to playing some respectable football. How about the fans, guys? Talking a little trash up on Twitter. There was someone on Twitter saying, watching a Barry Odom clip from his Monday press conference, saying the man sounds like Barry rolled out of bed before this. Hashtag Sleepy Barry. Even he knows it's a lost cause trying to fill Raider Stadium with a commuter school. They're back, huh? The mouths are open again in the north. Okay.
I didn't see that. That's the first. See that.
Yes.
Hey, you learn something new every hour, right?
Yep. Well, you got to go with I'm trying to think. I do a lot of hashtags. You probably have to – will you just fully fall on the side of the market and start – tagging everything that you and I'll be related with hashtag Sleepy Barry? Maybe Chris Murray
will do it? No, I will not do that.
Come on now. You're in the dish, you're not.
I won't do that. No, okay. I will not.
Tell people up on Twitter where they can find you for all the updates, all the pregame, the postgame, all the interviews, all the audio.
Yeah, they can find us over on Nevada Sportsnet, and then I'm on Shannon Kelly _TV.
Shannon, you are the woman. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you. Talk to you later.
Hashtag Sleepy Barry.
Relax.
I didn't notice that he was sleepy, and I would say, yeah, to what you just said. Listen, I like that they're playing better football because it was getting sad, and I'm not talking trash. It was. I like Ken Wilson, but there was an energy around him. Like, I think he really got broken by that first season of the beginning of the second. Like, it didn't kind of exude confidence.
They sucked. Just say it.
But.
And they still might, by the way.
They still might.
I mean, like I said, for those who don't remember, Brendan Lewis was not good last year.
But I'm telling you, watching him for a couple games and then watching him in that game last year, first of all, he was a highly touted guy. It's not like he landed at Colorado to start. He's hot. He's gigantic. But he can run the ball, man. He's got some moves. And he does have an arm. It's just about accuracy. So we'll see what happens this weekend. That's a big one. Good chance to get a win. Better win it, right? Keep the momentum going.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Stadium Swim jamming, Circus Sports jamming. People trying to get in. It's not trying. They're going to get in. Deadline is on Saturday. It's your chance to be part of a contest, two contests, Circa Million, Circa Survivor, with $16 million guaranteed. The Circa Survivor pool is over the $10 million. Survivor, you pick one winner straight up each week. If you get that winner, you advance. You can only use a team once, though, so you got to be very careful, strategic. You lose, you're out. Yeah. And then at the end, winner take all. Million, you pick five against the spread. Quarterly season-ending prizes. Again, deadline is on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Cofin & Company has an entry in Circa Million. Find out more information, CircaLasVegas.com. But there isn't much time to waste here. You got today, tomorrow, and Saturday. You know, midway in the day to get in Circa Million or Circa Survivor. So the show is in Million. Did I make a mistake by not going in Survivor? And what do you like to play?
I don't think you did. I think Million is the way to go. Especially, it always differs, right? I think if you're, as I keep referring it to, using the silver bullet, you have one entry, maybe two, it's way better to do Millions. And I'm talking like multiple Millions entries. Have two. Because yes, people keep referring to, I don't know if you know this, but like the Circa Millions, or excuse me, the Circa Survivor winner, each of the last, since the contest has come into, in its inception or whatever, I can speak English, they've had no more than two entries. So it hasn't been like this quant group of, hey, we've got 30, and I'm talking to people who have like 30 entries in total, and they'll buy back in. Because for those who don't know, you can also buy back in. So let's say you buy all 10 entries, and you use them all on Thursday night tonight. If you get eliminated, you can buy back in before Sunday. So a lot of sharp quant, like I've got so many backers, will come in, do that strategy. If they bomb out, then they'll just buy back in and go again. So those groups, it's hard to go against those in general. But I think it's better. It's a better test of more skill as a handicapper, so you can have things a little bit in your favor. You're going to be alive all year long because it's Millions. And there's way more ways to win. There's the mini contests throughout the year, halfway, quarterlies, whatever. There's the booby prize if you suck. For those who don't know, that's the worst record in the entire thing. If you have the worst record, you win money. So it's just, I think, a much better bang for your buck if you're going to do Millions.
We're going to bring in Matt Newman's tomorrow to talk about his and really Derek Stevens' contest because they put up, what, $25,000 for the Friday Night Invitational? I looked at a faux odds board. Did I miss your name?
I'm a VSiN employee. I'm not allowed to.
Oh, VSiN people aren't allowed in. Did you see anyone that you really respect in that contest? Because I'll tell you what, Cofield & Company is in that contest. Alex White is in that contest.
I saw that, yeah.
And this is not a last man or last woman standing. She's won two of those.
Correct. I'm in that, by the way, this year. I can't wait.
25 people?
What's that?
I think it's from 16 up to 25.
The Invitational.
She's got a shot.
I don't want to take a shot here. I will. It's not that I respect Doug Kazarian, but he has made the cut each of the last 2 years in that contest.
Really?
And the fake Mitch Moss Twitter account did make him like 50-1.
They did make him 50-1. I saw that.
So,
by the way, the fake Mitch Moss really likes to listen to VSiN. My God.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, my God.
To the point where, I mean, I DM with the guy every once in a while.
Oh, yeah?
And, like, I've met him before. He's a very nice man, but
we need those people, though.
We do.
We really love radio.
It doesn't help me to take a couple of shots. I was like, they were acting like you guys cured cancer and you were gone. He tweeted out one time, he's like, No, not even one time. So the day that we had our schedule shift, for our audience here locally that doesn't know that VSiN has a scheduling shift, Mitch and Paul were early in the mornings, and then now they're later in the day. And, like, he tweets out, like, it's good to hear their voices. I'm like, they haven't been – it's been a – like, they shifted 8 hours. They're not dead. They've been missing for months.
The idol treatment those guys get, and we know them from back in the day. When, by the way, they used to do a complete show. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the gambling audience would think of their old show, which was very good. Which was very, very good.
They still
good.
Do a little bit of that. So
I know they do. Yeah. I know they do. Reminder, Rebel football is coming up this weekend. Home opener, Allegiant Stadium, noon start, four-pack of tickets. It's all lower-roll tickets. Four-pack of tickets is $56, and I've been told that's 56 out the door. You're not going to get banged with a bunch of fees. So UNLV football opening after a 1-0 start at home against Utah Tech. UNLVtickets.com. Grab the ticket special. A lot of good seats available. Season tickets as well. Check it out. UNLVtickets.com.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, we'll get some leans and likes on the Thursday night football game. Uh-oh. Looks wet. Yeah. Looks wet. Eye on Sports Gambling every day at this time of Cofield and Company. It's presented by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Tropicana. Brad Powers is in. Brad, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
We're going to try something different here. I sort of limp into my picks, and then you laugh at me and destroy me. John Von Tobel is really a gambling expert, so he sent over – well, I mean, you sent over some boisterous statements here, so I'm going to have you start out with Brad, and let's see if he smacks you around like he generally does to me.
I mean, I got some good CLV on some of these, so I think Brad won't be able to smack around too much. Brad, the first bet I made this week, I laid 18 with Oregon against Boise State. I don't understand the overreaction here. It was 24.5 last week. Am I wrong? At least number-wise, I've got it, but am I crazy in thinking that the market was insane dropping this low?
No, you're right. I wish I had that bet in pocket. I got greedy. It was seven, as low as 17.5. I was hoping to see a 17, and I should have bet it and didn't. Now it's up 21, and I agree with the move. And I think they take the bad news for Boise this week is Oregon's going to take them seriously. So I expect an A-plus effort out of Oregon. If that's the case, this is going to be a total blowout.
All right, this one I don't have as strong opinion on, but it is an interesting tale from the market moving a full touchdown against Nevada versus SMU in week zero to now being a home favorite, a minus one in some spots over Georgia Southern. What do we do with the Wolfpack taking on Georgia Southern this weekend?
Well, I bet Nevada. I don't think the early numbers had that factored in yet. Well, I know that because they got plus five on them. But would I run to the window and bet the Wolfpack right now? No. I mean, they're starting to get their deserved flowers. I mean, I've upgraded Nevada more than any team just because they got two data points and they, you know, both were significantly, you know, good for Nevada, almost outright upset as a four touchdown underdog, and then pulled the outright upset kind of in a bad travel spot against Troy. But I'll say big picture, you know, flirt with a bowl game, which I didn't think was, you know, even, you know, a possibility with a win total of 2.5, but that's what we're looking at right now.
The other team, I fell into the trap. I got my hand caught in the cookie jar, whatever you want to say. I thought Wyoming was going to be able to stay inside that number against Arizona State. I laughed at Marcus Arroyo and got egg all over my face. I know the number's not up yet, but what do you expect here for Wyoming and Idaho? Is there a number or a total you're waiting for to get hung up?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm hoping for significant. Well, I'm either hoping for overreaction or underreaction last week because, I mean, Idaho looked really good. And Wyoming was as bad as anybody in college football last week. I mean, Arizona State legitimately dominated, almost a plus 5 yards per play difference in that game. Wyoming only had 50 yards of offense until that final garbage drive where they went the length of the field and scored a touchdown. I mean, it was that pathetic. So I like you guys. I like you guys a lot, but not enough to say, hey, this is my number on the game before anybody posts anything. I don't want, in case they're listening.
I'll text you.
Okay. I can respect that. Brad Powers is with us. I have no choice. You're not going to give it to me. Brad Powers, 7UP on Twitter. He's like, I don't care if you respect me. You're not getting the number. BradPowersSports.com. We have Friday and Saturday games to break down. John got to a couple. I'm going to go right to the end of my list and play off of the Arizona State mention there. I think this is an overreaction to Arizona State winning in week one. Am I wrong on this one, Arizona State and Mississippi State?
Really sharp group, laid it with Arizona State.
Really?
I can't. I'm right there at where the number is right now. I'm right around that five range, which is a dead number. What I do prefer is if you shop around, you get a 58.5. I'm going over the total because I do think Arizona State's offense is significantly improved. That I am confident in. And Mississippi State's running a lot of tempo. They're wide open. Their offense looks improved. So let's go over 58.5.
Okay, we'll backtrack to Friday. So we got some spots on Friday we want to hit on. First of all, what do we think of SMU, and should they be laying double digits against BYU?
No, I like BYU here. I like it quite a bit. I bet BYU. I think BYU's live. I think SMU is kind of fraudulent. I like what Nevada did, at least their defensive line against SMU's offensive line. And not that BYU's got a great defense, but SMU's getting way too much respect in the market right now. So BYU for me.
We should follow up really quickly. Is it playable at 11.5? Because you said you bet BYU, I'm sure. It's a little different than 11.5?
The market doesn't like this one from old VP. Okay. So, I mean, it kind of scares you. But then again, I liked UNLV last week, and the market moved against me. So what does the market know at this time of year? So I respect the market more later in the year than I do right now. So I like BYU not only plus the points, but, again, it's one of those rare double-digit underdogs that I think is live in the game.
What do we do with Northwestern? Because, interesting spot this year, and I'm sure for coming years, they're playing in a bandbox, so I don't know what the total number is, 8,000-10,000 that can watch the games at home right there on the lake. Northwestern is 2.5. How much of a home field are they going to have against Duke?
So I got a different take on it. I actually think they got a more of a home field than what they typically do because it's a unique setting. They're used to playing, a lot of teams aren't used to playing by the lake. They practice near the lake. So, and then also, watch Northwestern games over the year, a lot of times the crowd's 50-50. Well, with limited capacity, they limit it to maybe like 80%, 90% Northwestern fans. So I actually think it's a little bit more home field for Northwestern. With that being said, did I play side here? No, I think 2.5 is about right. If it got out to 3, I'd lean Duke. I did play under, but that was a number a long time ago in a galaxy far away.
So to that point, with these Northwestern home games now, how low is this going to get? Because obviously the lake, the wind, that's going to be a big deal. But, like, they're not slinging it all over the yard, right? Is there going to be a point where the market probably gets too low on some of these totals?
Yeah, I think we've already seen that because it was 36.5 yesterday. Now it's 37.5. 37 is a relatively key number with these lower totals. So, yeah, I think the market probably got a little too low on this one. Although, I mean, Duke has a defensive-minded coach. Duke had 8 sacks last week, 16 TFLs. I really don't see much offense here. Let's just say this. Circa opened 45.5. I am very, 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 very comfortable with that under.
Okay. What has happened with the betting on Texas and Michigan?
Well, I thought it was a key move today. And whenever you got this is the biggest game of the year so far. Probably from, going to be handle and whatnot, at least a pair of top 10 teams, defending champs against a blue blood. It came off a 7.5, a very key number, that extra hook. I agree with it. I would have taken the 7.5 with Michigan. I think it's overreaction. Last week you guys mentioned lines. This line you could bet at pretty much any sports book in the world last week up until kickoff, and it was Texas 3.5. I know Michigan's quarterback play didn't look that good, and Texas beat Colorado State 52-0. I'm not moving these two teams for a total of 4 points off of those two performances. So I like Michigan's defensive front. I still think it's elite. In fact, I still think Michigan's defensive line and front seven might be in not only top 10, top 5, maybe they're still the best in college football. So I like that edge, and they'll play with a chip on their shoulder getting this kind of point spread at home.
BradPowersSports.com. Brad Powers is with us. 28, Notre Dame and Northern Illinois.
I took the points from Northern Illinois again earlier in the week. Right now, I prefer the over, honestly. Notre Dame be flat. Well, if they're flat, I think that they might have a breakdown or two on defense. So there's that. And then I also think they won't run Riley Leonard, but what does that mean? I think they'll throw it more. They're not playing in a phone booth in this game. So I actually like the over here right at the current prices.
So I was actually going to ask, I guess, kind of the opposite thought of that, which would be, like, why doesn't your boys here, the Irish, why don't they just turn into Michigan from last year for the next couple of weeks and just go, dude, we're just running up in power formations, we're just handing it off, we're showing you nothing, because our schedule going forward is pretty easy until we go to September 28th and we take on Louisville.
I hear you. I guess you could do that, but, I mean, you brought in some transfers, wide receivers for a reason. Well, let's get them the football and make them happy. You don't want cancers in the locker room.
All right, Iowa State, what are we doing here? Pretty low total again for a Cy-Hawk Bowl game or whatever they call it. It's dumb. 35 of the total, or so the 35 is the total, and it's a -3 for Iowa.
Well, I mean, deservedly low because of the 19, the last 19 meetings between these two, 17 and 1 under. So it's a low-scoring series. Although Iowa's offense showed a little bit. Yep. I laid it with Iowa, but I got to tell you, three is everything in a low total. I mean, I'm in a, you know, lay 2.5, take 3.5 spot here. So I think three is right where it should be. I prefer the minus 2.5 bet.
Betting wise and storyline wise, it's fascinating too. But Colorado and Nebraska.
Yeah, I get at least pegged on X as a Colorado hater. I'm all about it's all relative to the market expectations. This is the rare instance where I kind of like Colorado this week. I know Nebraska will probably win the line of scrimmage, maybe by significant margin, but I also don't think Nebraska is going to be able to cover Colorado's passing game in space. So when they split it out 4 or 5 wide, Nebraska doesn't have the athletes in the back end that can keep up with those athletes. And again, you're trusting a true freshman quarterback not only to win. Nebraska hasn't won a lot of big games you've seen the last 7 years, and not only to win, but win with some margin here. Colorado's got backdoor potential with Shador because they want to get him stats. Well, that hook at versus the Hall of Famers at South Point looked pretty good.
Get Brad Powers' email and emails every week. Seriously, the stuff is great. And it's deep divey, too, because there's so much FCS on there. Oklahoma and Houston, Oklahoma's laying a big number. I was in H-Town last week. I watched the Cougars up close. It wasn't good. Do they have a bounce back here, or do they show more of what they showed against UNLV?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect much. Under the win total on Houston was my favorite win total bet that I made. I made over 100 of them, so that should put that in perspective. So I'm not expecting much out of them. Although I'll say this, I'm not running to lay 4 touchdowns with Oklahoma because I don't like their offense. Oh, well, Brad, they put up 51 last week. Why? Because they were +6 in turnovers, though. The defense helped them out considerably. Maybe it does so again here, but, I mean, I'm not counting on +4, 5, 6 turnovers to get significant margins. So I'm just going to pass at 28. I think the right play here was the under, but that's moved about 2.5, 3 points down.
We got a lean, a like. You got some action on the Chiefs and the Ravens in Thursday Night Football.
Lean Chiefs at -2.5, but nothing big there. It's going to be a great game. But come on, anybody says they got a lock tonight. I mean, the line's been up for 6 months. It's the most liquid market in the United States. Come on, get out of here. Doesn't mean you can't win it, but come on.
All right, our lock's coming up next.
we got locks. We got the biggest lock of the year. It's only $2,000. Brad, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thank you, dude.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
There he is, Brad Powers. Brad Powers Sports at Brad Powers 7 up on Twitter. Ion Sports Gambling. I got to get to something with you. Ion Sports Gambling is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Tropicana. True local bar. I mean, it is a true local bar. I love that place. I love pitching places that I go to and I like. They really are into sports. I was talking to them about this snafu going on right now with ESPN and the TV thing, and they were, like, super intense. Like, we are going to have it. We got this, you know, audiovisual guys in here. The menu there is great. Tons of options, 24/7 breakfast. Highly recommend the Reuben, the French dip, the daily special. We'll have that for you when we're on Monday to Friday. Today is meatloaf and then chicken vegetable soup. Hello, let's do it. That kitchen pumps out good stuff. You want to follow them on Instagram at Oasis Bar and Grill. We're going to be there live on Tuesdays, 3 to 6, Cofield and Company. That'll start next week on the 10th at Oasis. And on Mondays, it is a really good Monday Night Football spot with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. That party has been going on for a long time. Jerseys, hats, a lot of fun. You know, you and I haven't talked in a little while. How about my man Cam Ward? Cam Ward overcome his coach, help me overcome his coach, and get me that bet? We have a two-win total for wins on Miami. You remember what the number was?
16.5?
I think it was lower. I think it was 15.5. Okay. By the way, you're the man of record. Now that you're back in
the
fold, Griffin's
somewhere.
I'll keep track. And I'm like, nope, John's got. Dude, I mean, I still don't believe I'm going to win this because.
I bet I'm going to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
After last week.
But yeah. A quarterback can make such a difference to a program. It changes the whole tone on that thing. We'll address it on the other side. 5 o'clock hours on the way. We'll talk some old-timey UNLV football as we're going to hunt down Glenn Carano.